Today, as part of our continuing conversation with presidential candidates, we welcome Senator Bernie Sanders from Vermont, part of a crowded Democratic field. Senator Sanders, welcome.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
And let's get right to it. You are now one of two progressives running second and third behind Joe Biden. You and Elizabeth Warren split about 35% to 40% of the vote between you. Presumably, one of you would double that if the other backed out. I would ask her, you know, if she were here, you know, Bernie was first. Why not you back out? I'm asking you, Senator. You've had a heart attack. She has momentum. Why not back out and double the chances of your ideas winning?
Well, first of all, we do have a process to determine who the nominee should be. And frankly, I have a great deal of confidence that at the end of the day, because of the ideas that we are fighting for, the momentum that we have, the poll came out the other day that had us in first place in New Hampshire, I think we're going to win this thing.
Well, then tell me this. Why should Democrats vote for you instead of Elizabeth Warren?
Elizabeth Warren is a friend of mine, and I've known her for many, many years. But you ask me why I think people should vote for me, and I'll tell you why. 4 years ago, I ran for president of the United States, and I brought forth a series of ideas, raising the minimum wage to a living wage, the understanding that health care is a human right, not a privilege, through Medicare for All, making public colleges and universities tuition-free, understanding that climate change is the existential threat facing this country and the world. 4 years ago, those ideas were seemed to be radical, but I was out there fighting for the rights of working people and taking on the greed and corruption of the corporate elite. These are not new ideas to me, and that many of the ideas that I introduced that were seemingly radical 4 years ago are now kind of mainstream, adopted by many other candidates. And my job as a candidate is not just to defeat Donald Trump, the most dangerous president in the history of this country, but it is to transform our government and economy so that it works for all of us, not just the 1%.
I was exactly going to say that your ideas 4 years ago seemed wacky, now are mainstream. In fact, let's take Medicare for All. A majority of Americans are now in favor. Warren has been taken to task for not saying how she'd pay for Medicare for All. You've been saying, been acknowledging, it will entail middle-class tax hikes. But I just want to ask you, yesterday, the Biden campaign went after you for not saying how much those hikes would be. You'd said on CNBC you didn't think that you had to be that specific right now. Why not? Why not say how much you think
Well, let me respond to my friend Joe Biden. And Joe wants to maintain and continue a wasteful, dysfunctional, and cruel health care system which is costing us twice as much per person as the people of any other country are paying. Canadians are spending, for example, 50% per person of what we're spending. They manage to cover every man, woman, and child in their country. Now, I would ask Joe Biden to tell us, under his plan, how many millions of people will remain uninsured, how many millions of people or tens of millions of people will remain underinsured with high premiums and copayments and out-of-pocket expenses? How much will the cost of prescription drugs, which are now the highest in the world, how much will those costs go up? So Biden has a lot to explain to the American people about his plan, which I suppose is consistent with the fact that he has people on his super PAC, which includes representatives of the insurance industry. So Joe has to explain what his plan will cost the American people in ever-increasing premiums and copayments. Now, to answer your question, we have brought forth an outline and several options of how we would pay for our plan. And the truth is that any plan, healthcare plan, will undergo significant debate in the Congress. So I didn't think it was necessary to outline how every nickel would be spent, because it's going to be changed in Congress. But clearly, it'll be funded in a progressive way. And the result is that when you eliminate all premiums, people will not be paying any more premiums, businesses will not be paying any more premiums, no copayments, no deductibles, no out-of-pocket expenses. Yes. And after we eliminate the first $29,000 from taxation, people will be paying more in taxes. But the increased taxes that they will be paying will be significantly less for the overwhelming majority of people than the savings they receive by not paying for premiums and copayments and out-of-pocket expenses.
But, Senator, what about the concerns about the care? You brought up Canada, and you might have seen the recent headline in Forbes Bernie Sanders was lucky he didn't have his recent heart attack in a single-payer system. This was from Sally Pipe. She's with the Pacific Research Institute. They call themselves a free market think tank. But she said...
Before you go any further, explain to people that a free market research firm is a right-wing corporately funded think tank.
Well, yes, your that's question. Another way to put it. Well, she cited a study from 1995 from the Journal of the American College of Cardiology that two-thirds of patients in the U.S.
1995 we're talking about, right?
Yes.
That's 20 years ago.
Okay. That two-thirds of patients in the U.S. who needed an urgent coronary angiography, which reveals those blockages in the arteries, got it within 24 hours, you know, here in the States. In Canada, two-thirds of Canadians had to wait more than 3 days just for the test.
Okay, this is, So you're telling me about a right-wing think tank in Canada, but you're not telling me about how do Canadians feel about their healthcare system. Which system is more popular, system in the United States or the system in Canada? Did she write about that?
No, and we happen to know
that
the Canadians are very happy with their system.
Okay, so that's the answer to the question.
Senator, I want to move on to other topics, but just staying with this topic for just a second, and since I mentioned it, how are you, by the way? And what, you sound pretty good to me. And what would you say to those who are worried that, you know, you had a heart attack at 78?
Well, first of all, I want to thank people from all over this country for their prayers and their well wishes. It has meant a lot to me and to my family. And I'm feeling excellent right now. We're back on the campaign trail full time.
Yeah.
And I do appreciate the love and the concern that so many have shown.
Okay. I want to do something of a lightning round, just because there's so much we want to get in. Impeachment. You're a senator. Right now the process is in the House. If they vote to impeach, it goes to the Senate. Last night I happened to hear from some Democrats who wanted me to tell you, don't do this. They say Democrats are making Trump a victim. Republicans are seizing a false narrative about closed-door hearings being unfair. They're not. They're usual. And that if there's no conviction in the Senate, the Republican-controlled Senate, these Democrats are worried that A.G. Barr will do what he did with the Mueller report and make it sound as if there were no findings at all. They are worried that Democrats are on the wrong path with impeachment. Your thoughts?
I think that in many ways the House doesn't really have a choice. When you have a president who I think is guilty of obstruction of justice, who is guilty of violation of the Emoluments Clause because he is enriching himself through the office of president, when it is clear that he used U.S. military aid to Ukraine to try to get dirt on a political opponent, if you ignore that reality, you set a precedent for future presidents to say, I could do anything I want. The Constitution and the impeachment process doesn't mean anything. And whether it's good politics or bad, who knows? But I think they have got to go forward. But I do think that through that entire process, the American people will learn that this president is not only a pathological liar, I don't know that he actually knows the difference between truth and lies, but that his administration is probably the most corrupt administration in the modern history of this country.
Let's say you are elected president. First 100 days, what would you do?
Well, we begin the process of creating an economy and a government that works for all, not just the 1%. And we will tackle the reality that we have more income and wealth inequality in America today than any time since the 1920s. So we will bring forth, working with our friends in Congress, legislation that substantially changes our tax code. We will most certainly introduce legislation that tackles the existential threat of climate change and the need to transform our energy system away from fossil fuel. We will introduce Medicare for All, legislation to make public colleges and universities tuition-free, immigration reform, criminal justice reform. You know, you will find that the U.S. Congress can chew bubble gum and walk at the same time. We can go forward in addressing the real needs of working families and in taking on the greed and corruption of the corporate elite.
And finally, you call yourself a democratic socialist, and that's caused a lot of confusion, as you know. Just very briefly, what does that mean to you?
What it means is picking up on the legacy of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who understood that economic rights are human rights, that people are entitled to health care as a human right, that our people are entitled to be able to get all of the education that they need as a human right, which is why we're going to make public colleges and universities tuition-free and cancel student debt.
But does it mean, the end of the free market, the end of...
No. Look, what you see all over the world are governments who are standing up for working people, not just unfettered capitalism. So all that I am talking about is creating a nation where you have a government that works for all and not just gives tax breaks to billionaires.
Bernie Sanders, Senator of Vermont, one of many Democrats running for president. Senator Sanders, thanks for speaking with us.
Well, thank you for having me. Take care.
One last question. What are you going as today?
I think I'm going to go as Bernie Sanders.
Other people are, too. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And by the way, he lobbed a charge there at Joe Biden about his new super PAC having insurance company contributors. Question, do you think Democrats are spending too much time in fighting over health care? Your thoughts and our other conversations at hereandnow.org.